honorable members, we must continue with our work. So we will resume after tea, and we are still busy with responses to questions from the honorable members. Over to the ED and his team.
Okay. Thanks, Chairperson and honorable members. As Chairperson requested, we have met with Acting ED and Caucus on the issues that were raised. Chairperson, going back to the issues relating to performance bonus, the amount of money as well as the number of officials that reflect on page 126 of the annual report relates to the performance of financial year 13-14. However, the payment took place in financial year 14-15. Hence, the information is reflected in the annual report for 14-15, because that's the financial year in which the payments took place. With regard to the question that was raised by Honorable Groenewald on the unauthorized expenditure, it is quite right. The unauthorized expenditure happened in the financial year that has been mentioned here, financial year 15-16, as well as 18-19. However, due to the processes of clearing the unauthorized.
Say that again, 15-16 and say that.
The unauthorized expenditure that is reflected in our books, it happened in the financial year 15-16 as well as the financial year 18-19 financial year. 8-9 financial year, sorry. Two financial year, 8-9 financial year and 5-6 financial year.
Sorry, Chairperson, we're back to the future now. I'm a bit confused.
Sorry, Chairperson. Sorry for that. It's two financial years, 5-6 and 8-9.
I even had to pinch myself to check if I'm really awake.
Okay, apology for the financial year. However, due to the processes that need to be followed in order to authorize the unauthorized expenditure, we have since engaged with National Treasury in order to make sure that the reported amount is authorized by the SCOPA. Submission has been made. Documentation has been requested. We are now waiting for a response in order for the amount to be cleared in our books. Thanks.
Maybe just a follow-up from my side, and I'll also give one more. So, okay, if that performance bonus is then 13-14 that was paid in this financial year, what was then approved for the current for the year under reporting? Can we just have that figure? Although it will be reported next year, according to your approach, can we maybe have that? Honorable Groenewald?
See, I hear what is being said, but I'm not an auditor. But how can unauthorized expenditure that occurred in 2008, 2009, and 2005 and 2006 can be reflected on a report of 2014-2015? Please.
It's possible if it hasn't been cleared and approved, yes, but you can explain.
Thanks, Chairperson. Honorable Groenewald. Your unauthorized expenditure, until such time is cleared with the necessary approval, it will still be reflected in our financial statement, even in future, as long as the necessary committee, which is COPA, has not yet given the approval to clear it from the books.
Okay, I hear Chairperson, but it takes him a very long time.
Chairperson, in respect of the performance bonuses or performance for evaluations for 2014-15, I think the review committee, they are still busy with the particular process. Possibly they are going to finalize the process end of this month. Then we'll know how many people qualified for performance bonuses and incapacity due to poor performance, and how many they have just achieved the standard performance there.
I think, remember, we're going to anyway make a serious recommendation from our side regarding the 42% that I think it's just not on. And I think we want to caution Albert with regard to the current process that we will frown upon very seriously of that kind of magnitude. And we really want the management to really review it, and we will have, you know, we will have to have a report, because it is not the improvement in the AG report as well as the other indicators and targets are not met. It's problematic for us to accept. And Honourable Kruger.
Thank you, Jay. So can I ask that we also get the names of the people who got the bonuses and exactly what bonuses they received for the committee, please?
Agreed, that must be provided to us. Let's continue with the responses and then we'll go to the second round.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members. Honourable Mulevasi, on the question of how far is the matter with regards to the building that we are presently occupying, I don't want to use the excuse that I was not there, but what I can report today is that there is an intergovernmental SLA that was signed between DPW and ourselves. We did, in terms of clause 3.1.4 of that particular intergovernmental SLA, furnish DPW with a notice of intention to vacate in 2012. Now, the process takes about 18 months to finalize, and I think it's either, if my calculations are correctly, that 18 months terminated either at the end of September or at the beginning of, or rather at the end of October. Now, what we have been trying to do is that we've been trying to secure an appointment, a meeting with DPW so that that matter can be finalized and closed as according to that notice of intention to vacate the building.
Thank you very much. But the other part of my question was, when will it be finalized?
Honorable Mulevasi, on that matter, I cannot indicate before we have met with DPW. As soon as we have met with DPW, we will be in a better position to respond as to when it will be finalized.
Right, other responses?
Yes. Chairperson, Honourable Muller indicated that there was a discrepancy on our slide 54. If we can just go to slide 54. In terms of the report back that was given by myself, the percentage of legal advice that is provided to investigators within 24 hours, we indicated there on the column of comments that the target is exceeded, so we did correct it. But I think in the presentation that was circulated to the members previously, it was just saying the target has been met. But because our target was 90% and our output was 100%, we exceeded that target by 10%, and it's reflected in the presentation that we have now uploaded today. I hope that answers your question, Honourable Member. Thank you.
All the responses.
No, it's still one.
Yes.
I was still responding to the question by Honourable Grunewald on cases of criminal convictions and acquittals that are higher than criminal convictions. So you wanted to know what is the quality of the discussion that led to a high number of acquittals. I will not be saying it is the quality, because we haven't looked into that. So it can mean a lot of things. So, but the criminal conviction for 2014-2015, we had convicted 58 police officers, and then those that were acquitted were 27. But we will go back and look as to why the what happened to the 37, why were they not convicted and why were they acquitted? We may not give those answers now because we still have to go and look at the reasons from the court, because these matters are already in the court room. On slide 44, outcome from the NPA for 2014-2015. The Honourable Member Kukuni was wanted to know why was there only one guilty. We looked into that. We found that the reason is when the GPT or the SPT are analyzing the cases, the instances where they come with decision of suspect that police to pay a fine. So that guilt was when they said that alleged suspect should pay a fine. We only had one case, the rest were convictions, direct to go to court.
Okay.
Chairperson, a year old, what you said. Can we ask that in future that we get a correct presentation on these matters, please? Thank you.
Let's go to the second round. A few from my side. Maybe, Edie, a question to you. In terms of the independence of I think the ED referred to that in terms of... Right. The first issue is the issue of the independence of investigations. Now, if we look at the press environment since February, you know, we have various reports of previous investigations done by IPAC, working very, very closely with crime intelligence, hawks in certain high-profile cases, although those cases are not currently underway. Maybe from an operational philosophical approach, can as a committee we have the assurance that you are, in terms of your core business, those investigations are independent, and because if you utilize police agencies primarily to do the work or even in advisory capacity, your independence will be compromised. And it really then defeats the purpose of your organization. So if we can maybe get your view on that, and also an undertaking that blurring of roles, you know, that could be addressed. Maybe in terms of the AG report, there's one positive thing from the AG in terms of the safe target areas, the quality of your performance targets. I think IPED is the only department that where there's no problems. Even the police and the others are again in the red or in the yellow, but you in the green there. So that's very good. But the problem is your underperformance in a certain extent negates that. So I want to know, what are you going to do also to address the underperformance in your core business? But remember, in previous presentations, you've indicated the decentralization model. Because one of the arguments you offered again today, far distances, you know, we can't do it. It's very impossible. But I mean, you promoted or advertised your decentralization model in various meetings and say, you know, you've got now investigators here and there. And that's my Hawks argument. If I look at all the organizations that appeared before us in this week, the Hawks are on target with many of the issues. They deal with the issues, the core issues. So that's what I'm saying. Then you said, well, the decentralization model is the answer. But I don't get any sense of today's presentation that decentralized model is in operation and working for you. So is those decentralized offices not making a difference? That will be from my side, Honorable Grunewald, and then also to the other colleagues.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, seeing that the acting officials is in service since 1 April, it's a general question. I want to know, I don't want the figures, but I just want to know, all the court cases, the suspended CEO is involved. Does the department pay for those cases? Thank you.
Madam Mulabachi, and then I'll go to the other members.
Chairperson, my question links up with what Honorable Ralph asked earlier on, but it's slightly different. You made mention of cases that needed more information by the MPA that increased from 1 to 3. What causes this? Is it the quality of your investigators or what causes this? My next one is on slide 59, where you made a very worrying statement, Mulo, when you said the staff was not committed. What did you do to this staff that is not committed? You fired them, what did you do? My last one is on, after using prohibited service providers, which led to irregular expenditure, what did you do to correct this? Thanks, Chef.
Thank you, Chief. Sorry, can I just check if I missed the responses to my other two questions, the one about the reasons for the decline in the meeting of targets in Program 2, despite the caseload in the last financial year being fairly stable compared to the year before that, and then the question about an analysis on the environments and the circumstances from which the assaults cases originates. I may have missed it while I was in and out, but can I just check that I didn't, please?
Other members? All right. Maybe also two additional from my side. Again, the intake of core issues. Only 3 cases of systemic corruption and only 2 regarding torture. There's a lot of complaints going to the Human Rights Commission. What is the department doing to ensure that those cases are effectively dealt with?
Thanks, Chairperson and honorable members. In respect of the first issue there, regarding the independency of our investigations as the IPED, we utilizes crime intelligence and the hawks in instances where we need their capacity as far as gathering of information for intelligence is concerned. And in respect of the hawks, you will find that in most of the cases is as and when there are cases where you'll find that it's an IPED and now you find IPED not having the mandate over certain individuals there. You find that there are police officers involved and civilian people involved. So in those particular cases, we rope in the hawks so that as and when those civilian people are supposed to be arrested and processed through the criminal justice system, then the hawks, they just have to assist us. But in all those particular cases, the IPED will take the lead. But going forward, Chairperson, we are thinking of if capacity allowed to have that particular capacity within our institutions in relating to the intelligence as well as the ballistics and the LCRC. Hence, we have even procured a crime scene motor vehicles. Then those motor vehicles are supposed to have the equipment and being utilized by the local criminal record center people, but we will want to have that capacity within the IPED itself. And the issue in respect of the quality of performance and underperformance in respect of core business and decentralization model. We, as the department, we only have footprints in provincial offices and one satellite office per province. But we, because of the challenges as far as the funding of our expansion strategy is concerned, we just have to improvise and think out of the box. Because I think in the Free State, we do have an additional satellite office where we are even housed by the court in Belcom. They give us an office space there, and we do have a table and a chair, and our investigator based there is able to attend to crime scene and investigations within that particular area very quickly. And in Mpumalanga, they have followed in respect of following the very same model from the Free State, and I've even requested Tuesday Eastern Cape to do the same in respect of planting our investigators in the district offices where community safety of the Eastern Cape are having offices and people in those particular offices. We don't have to wait for government to give us funds and create formal IP satellite offices. We can partner with other government departments to assist us with regards to that. And Community Safety Eastern Cape indicated that they don't have a problem of assisting us with regards to the office space.
Acting ED, Honorable call up there.
Sorry to interrupt, Acting ED. I just wanted to ask a quick follow-up on a point you were making just before the one you made, before it got lost in the sequence. In terms of the issue of at sort of reliance on and partnership with the Hawks and crime intelligence, what happens in an instance where the IPED has to pursue an investigation of a service officer within those divisions that you rely on for crime intelligence to ensure the integrity and the independence of that?
Okay, thanks, Chairperson and honorable members. It must be noted that we use the services of those crime intelligence and Hawks as and when the need arises, not in all. Not in all the cases, or not necessarily the majority of our cases, the 90%, 95% don't utilize those particular services. It's as and when there is a need for us to engage those, because our mandate does not allow us to arrest civilian people, we only arrest police officers. And crime intelligence is a given. We don't have intelligence capacity as a department, but as and when the need arises that we want that particular service, there is nothing stopping us from engaging the crime intelligence from SAPS. But as and when we are dealing with investigations against those particular institutions, we don't even utilize their services. And we have living in the past utilizes the services of the independent pathologists and independent ballistics. As and when we are not satisfied with the services that we got from whether the ballistics from forensic science laboratory or even the state pathologists. The issue in respect of the other matters there, I will ask my colleagues to respond to those particular matters.
President, Honorable Mulevati, in terms of our community outreaches, in my addressing the underachievement in this target, I use the word we don't have dedicated personnel in the provinces. Remember, this is a function that is provincially allocated. So
in the provinces, we mainly have investigators to perform the core function of the department. So their main focus is on investigations, and as you can see, they are struggling even to reach their target. So when it comes to community outreaches, this is an activity that is not even in their performance agreement, so they do it as and when. That's why I said we don't really have dedicated officials who are focused on this activity. So what happened for this current financial year is the target for the outreaches was revised down, but we still need to revisit the target and see how best can we do our outreaches. Thank you.
But going forward, in respect of this particular issue, as the department, if the capacity allows, the intention is to have a communication and marketing officer in all the provinces, one per province. Same goes to the legal admin officer in all the provinces. Chairperson and honorable members will remember that these two programs, they were just created. This one, it was the last, then this one came before. This other one, they were just created there at head office, but didn't have capacity at provinces. So going forward, we just have to make sure that we do have the footprint as far as these two programs are concerned in the provinces.
Chairperson and honorable members, with regard to the use of prohibited service providers, two things were done by the department to address the situation. One, the service providers that were involved have since been removed from the departmental database, so they won't be used again. Two, supply chain staff members were informed and trained to ensure that each and every service provider that is going to be used by the department, they check against the National Treasury database. Thanks.
Thank you, sir. Listening to decline in IPIT meeting its target despite the fact that they didn't receive any big numbers of intake of cases. This is a large study we've seen, but we sat down and then we decided to have this AD Directive 10 to be fully complied with. Because if the provinces can comply with effectively, it will have a serious ravage to go down in terms of failing to meet compliance. The department will be able to meet those because investigators are monitored individually from the provinces, and then that also go as high as to the provincial head to see that every week they are giving us a weekly plans that we need to look at what they've done and so forth. And every month they send us compliance in as far as ED directive is concerned. The general strategy that I spoke about earlier on, that for these 4 months, targeting the backlog cases in these four provinces. We, because it is a new system, started the beginning of this month. So for these 4 months, we'll monitor it quite closely. If we see just got a good outcome, we are intending to expand it to the entire department that the provincial head should implement it in the provinces, because it has got the potential of changing the way things are done in IT. The second question was from the same honorable member was the trends of assault cases, but actually I answered it. Okay, maybe the member was outside. We didn't conduct any study here as to whether cases from the police are from a particular division or a particular section that is always having contact with the community. But our general observation is that assault normally takes place when the police are effecting arrest. Resistance to arrest then amounts to maybe use of force, either appropriate force or more. But that is where cases of assault are dominating. And with people being aware of IPs now. They're opening more cases. You can see most of the assaults actually are reported from Western Cape. We can, maybe there's an enlightenment or there's an awareness that if people starting to know IPs, then they will come and report those kinds of type of cases. So we will look into that, whether indeed which units are more prone to assault community and more than others. The other question was, where the NPA requesting more information? Is it maybe poor investigation? Is it lack of experience? I cannot conclusively say it's poor investigation. It's not that maybe because our investigators are not so much trained. They're still new, most of them. They're still new in this department. So we have identified lack of training in this capacity that we need to capacitate these investigators. So that when they do investigations, they may do it fully. But somehow you may have done it to a best ability, but you find that when you get taken to an advocate in NPA, they may still find some things that maybe they may want to have the case more solid so that it can be winnable in court. So we had three that were referred back where they wanted more information. But I think we'll look into it as to maybe if we can take this investigator through training and continuously doing that, I think that may minimize the cases that where the NPA may require more information.
Before the Chief Director of Legal Services, there's two follow-ups on the Honourable Mbeki and Honourable Mbele.
I just want to know why you employ personnel that does not match the function. I heard you saying that they are still new, they need to be trained. What's the reason for interviews if you are going to employ people you need to train, and when we expect them to be doing the research work?
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to ask just for a simpler, clearer explanation. I thought I heard it, but I didn't quite grasp it. The response to the question about the decline in meeting targets, despite the case load remaining fairly stable. I heard a mention of effectiveness, which I thought meant it's because investigators are being monitored to improve the effectiveness of their investigation, but I didn't quite get that. Can I just get that answer a bit more concise and a bit clearer so I understand it clearly?
Maybe I'll tell you the first part of training. Investigators, when they get into the system, are trained to a certain level, because they vary now. They will be having principal investigators, will be assistant directors, will be ordinary investigators and senior investigators. We do expect them to do the job, but they may not be that experienced like a person who's been in investigation maybe for two or for about 10 or so years. So as a department, we have realized that we need to give them more direct training in terms of these cases. Because some of them were case workers that were translated into investigators during the past financial year. So they really, in all fairness, need more training so that they can be able to cope with the complex cases that come to the scene of high profile and so forth. The cases in terms of declining, we spoke about efficiency and effectiveness. That is the measure that we are doing now. It was not there. We are doing it now, but we want to see if we bring this new monitoring tool, will they have a positive impact on this underperformance? Because we're just trying to see what is that can work, that we cannot always come here and say we didn't perform. We want to come with a new innovation. patients, but will improve performance in the directorate. Among other things that we want to deal with moving forward, because what happened now, this individual did not reach the target. So we are looking forward as to what it is that can do to improve on this one. We also say let's have this brought forward monitoring tool effectively monitored, so that we can minimize the threat of verbal cases, because in this case now have to deal with the current cases and at the same time deal with verbal cases. So we want to have these things implemented and closely monitored to see whether they cannot have a positive impact on this non-performance moving forward. Thank you. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Sorry, I'm on Bijaf. You want to come in there?
I'm sorry to say I'm disappointed, because you are going on convincing me that you employ people who do not match the function. So in fact, let us leave it there. As long as you have confirmed for the second time that you hire wrong people for positions. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, another thing that is going to be done in this area between Program 2 and Program 3 is that we will be doing the backlog case interventions in order to assist with the investigations and also identify gaps where we can assist the investigators. And the producing as well of practice notes is going to help with that. The legal workshops that are going to be held going forward as well will also assist in identifying gaps with the investigators. Then we will go out and then present to them where there is a gap. So that way, anticipating will also assist in making sure that the cases that go to the NPA don't necessarily come back, but they are put through the system. They are seen as... there is a prima facie case in order that can be prosecuted and not an indication that there isn't enough that was done or the quality of the investigation is such that the matter cannot be referred to court and be successfully prosecuted. Thank you.
Thanks, Chairperson. I just want to add on two issues there in respect of issues of training. Honorable Member, you will remember that some of our staff members, especially our entry caseworkers, they were translated from ICD to ITIT. ICD were having the complaints registry, where they were only dealing with the receiver of the complaints. They were not investigators. But coming to the ITIT, we have to translate or move with them or reorganize or restructure, move with them but prepare them to be investigators. So we send them for training in respect of the crime resolving. We are continuously upskilling them, because you just have to start with the basic, then you go to advanced, then all this other training. So it's just a process in respect of those, because you have most of your case, people who were the case analysts, and the others were the monitors. So we had to convert them to investigators. So possibly that's that particular issue. But the other issue which was asked previously was in relation to the 2% disability. That particular target, according to the APP and the threat plan, that is not low. The target is supposed to read, or it is at least 2% of people with disability. So there is nothing stopping us from having 5 or 10 or 5% or 20% of people with disability within the department. The Honorable Mzele, questions there with regards to the stable caseload, despite the fact that the performance keeps on or declines from the previous financial year as compared to 2014-15. We have taken note of that particular concern, and as the department moving forward, they will never see that particular repetition of that particular issue. Definitely for this particular financial year, the performance will be up there. Thanks very much.
All responses. Right, let's go to another round.
Sorry, Jeffrey. I've asked a specific question on the legal cost of the suspension.
The legal cost, I think, is a 500,000 amount, I think, in the financial notes. If you can just get an indication of that.
They didn't respond to that.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Honorable Member Groenewald, may you please just ask your question again so I can be able to answer you.
Thank you, Chair. Now, my question was, in this financial year, were there any monies of, were paid for any legal costs of the CEO, the suspended CEO, for this financial year?
Okay, with regards to that particular matter, the costs relating to the legal reps for the department or for the minister is being taken care of the minister, whether secretariat or subs. They can talk with regards to that. But there were those particular invoices that were forwarded to us. Then we engaged those two institutions. Then the agreement was that this is the matter between the minister and the executive director. And the minister will take care of those particular legal costs. But in respect of the department paying for the representatives of the executive director, if I remember very well, I terminated that particular service on the 30th or the 31st, on the 30th of March of Adams and Adams. I terminated that particular mandate that they are no more representing the department as far as the particular matter is concerned, and the executive director made it clear that he will pay his own costs as far as that particular representation is concerned, and that's what he's doing. But honorable members will remember that during April there was an advance payment or prepayment that was transferred to Adams and Adams in respect of the court challenge before 2 weeks or 3 weeks before the suspension of the court, before the suspension of the ED or that particular court appearance during April. And those particular services, since the engagement of Adams and Adams up until I terminated the services, we are liable as the department to pay for those particular services because they were appointed, whether legally so or what, that particular investigations will be done at a later stage. But they were appointed by the executive director to represent him for the suspension as well as the independency of the IP up until I terminated the services. So that with regards to that particular 500,000. So up until this financial year, apparently even last week or whatever, it was still hanging there on the suspense account of the department, not being cleared. But we are moving towards clearing it because the investigations of the Public Service Commission has been finalized, and the people who requested to verify that particular invoice that was forwarded to us as the department, they have done that. We have received that particular outcome. And we will deal with the payment and will deal with the findings and the recommendations of the Public Service Commission. Thanks, Chairperson.
So that we'll go to the last round of questions. From my side, there's also a question we've asked this week to SAPS and also to the suspended National Commissioner. It's about the issue of the professional police, a new police service that acts in line with the Constitution. Now, it's about the contribution of IFAC in that process. Now, if we look at your annual report, there is again this, well, relatively in both categories, an increase in deaths as a result of police action, 4%, and deaths in police custody, also 4%. Now, the argument is, and we also put it to the police management, if there's a lot of training, if there's a lot of efforts to professionalize the police, their conduct must improve. But is it as a result of a more serious crime environment? I just want to get the perspective from IFAD. What's IFAD's view? There was a few years ago a slight decline in both categories. There was closer management by the police in terms of the deaths in custody, but the trend is upwards in terms of your own stats. I see there's 60 cases that is not allocated in your category, but the question is, what is the contribution also from IFAD side to influence police behavior? Because IFAD must contribute to a police service that is more accountable and more professional. So I want your take on that. I know it's a complex issue and it's influenced by crime trends as well, but I want to take of that. My second question also goes back to the AG. On their notes on the information technology control environment. Now, cybercrime is a big issue. We also seen a lot of classified information from your department in the public domain and in newspapers. Now, if I look at this briefing note from the AG, IT governance is yellow, security management is yellow, IT service continuity is yellow, user access management is yellow. CIRA is green in most of the cases as well as the Department of Police for the SAPS. Now my question is, there was a few referrals to action plans, but how are you going to clean up that environment if you look at the AG's yellows and all the issues? So that is my two questions. Let's go to other members for the final round. Everybody happy? Right. Edie, over to you.
Thanks, Honorable Chairperson. The first issue there in this relates to the professionalization of staffs. What will be the contribution of the IPT taking into consideration the increase or marginal increase as far as the death in police custody are concerned and death as a result of police action. But also taking note that there was a decline in the previous years as far as these particular matters are concerned. I think with myself and the new acting secretariat, this particular matter will deal with it during our consultative forum meetings, where we'll even look at the trends and the causes of all of these kind of reported cases within IPT and try to analyze those particular information. We have to even zoom in those particular recommendations where the Act specifically indicates that we must make recommendations as the IPT which are not criminally or departmentally which are not of criminal or departmental, but those ones that will influence the policy of the South African Police Service. But also going forward, the issue of the awareness and making sure that we engage them during their lecture meetings at station levels, we will make sure that we have the scheduled engagement leaving from provinces as far as this particular matter is concerned. The last issue there, I don't know whether at this stage you will want to come in on that. But okay, let me just attempt to respond leading to that. I must indicate that our IT systems, they are not up to scratch. Hence, what you have seen in the media with regards to the leakage and all of those things. Because as and when I engage our IT security in respect of just doing the preliminary investigations there, I was so frustrated. And I ended up roping in the SSA to come and assist the department with regards to making sure that they do the whole investigations and give us the recommendations and the findings and the recommendations and possibly the proposals in respect of our systems as far as our ICT is concerned. But I think we'll even try to address that with regards to the training and upskilling of our ICT component. Thanks, sir.
Thank you very much. Any further questions? Right, thank you to the Executive Director and his team for their presentation on the annual report as well as their input in terms of responses. We will, of course, now study the responses and on Tuesday finalize our recommendations in terms of the BRRR. But I think it's quite important issues that should be addressed head on is the issue of vacancies. That's quite important. We refer to the AG's issues. We feel it should be dealt with this year. And I mean, we're very far gone already in this financial year, but I think the acting ED will have the support of the committee in roping in and assist with full fee-free financial statements. That's quite critical because the AG expects all the portfolio committees to have a close scrutinization of the current action plans. So we will need a monthly report back from IFIT on all the AG issues. What are you doing? What is the tracking? What is the issues? What are the interventions? That we can satisfy ourselves that there is, of course, progress. The underperformance is an issue that needs urgent attention. We need to ensure better productivity, better close management. We know a lot of senior people has left or are suspended, but I think the current team, they must take the bull by the horns and ensure that there is delivery. And again, the big issue is successes. The public out there want assurance if there's police misconduct that there will be an independent institution they can go to, they can phone, a police institution that will operate effectively. And also important, if there's allegations about high profile police, IFIT must do a job. It shouldn't be in any way be deterred. They must investigate, do the necessary follow-ups, and the results must be made public. Because that will ensure that there is confidence in the system. So that is quite important. The issue of training again, I mean, in terms of the stats, we haven't really dealt with that, but I mean, if you look at your court successes, and a lot of decline to prosecute from the NDPP. We need to address that as well. I think the stakeholder management, I know in some provinces it's excellent with the NDP or the NPA, but there's too many knowledge in your annual report. There needs to be percentage-wise a better success rate. Otherwise, it's again the issue of outcomes. We spend 160, 200 million, and what is the outcome? So that's critical. And also your training programs, you need your own independent SAQWA qualified training programs. In the end, attending here and there, police, sponsored programs, but you must also look at best practice, international benchmarking. There's good programs, but to ensure that you, in terms of technology, at the forefront. We also raised the issue previously of systemic corruption. That is a critical issue. I mean, we picked it up during our visit to the Free State as well. There were serious allegations made in that meeting, also at the Sura Bridge. So I think the borders should be a focus area of ICE. And especially the issue of rotation. I mean, there is no move that SAPs must also rotate, but I mean, that's where the corruption happens. In those units where people are very long in positions. So I think most from a systemic corruption point of view, focus on those units. That's quite critical. Because if you've got good successes, confidence will grow in you as an institution, your legislative institution. So thank you very much for coming. We will monitor, of course, your performance and look at the quarterlies. But we need improvements. Thank you very much. We will take a 3-minute break and then we'll ask the researchers to lead us on the civilian secretariat before lunch.